Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. Along with us is co-host TJ Inman. And today we are looking at the ACC. The college football season, at least for Indiana, is 81 days away. And it's prime time. Preseason magazine time. So we like to take the step outside of the Big Ten every year. This year we're starting with the ACC, and we'll go through team by team. We are also including Notre Dame in this preview as well, as they play a lot of ACC teams as well this year. TJ, how are you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, excited to talk about actual football. That is certainly what we look forward to all off season, is starting to get to these previews. So I'm ready to go.
Yeah. So what we're going to do in this preview, we'll give, both of us will give our division champs. We'll try not to make this the Clemson preview. That was the goal going in. We'll give a non-conference game to watch, a conference game to watch, and then a dark horse team. And then we'll get into team by team previews as well. So I'll start, TJ. The ACC, they had three teams in the S&P Plus Top 25 in Clemson, North Carolina, and Miami. Always leery a little bit on Miami. They just – it's kind of like it's like they're back or they're not back. So we'll see what goes on there. But as far – it's a conference that really is top-heavy and has almost no depth. There's a couple coaching changes. BC has a new coach. You know, Georgia Tech is still transitioning away from the option and things like that. You know, Florida State's has a new coach. And we also saw Justin Fuente from Virginia Tech kind of dabble in the Baylor job. So there's a lot of uncertainty in the ACC. But let's start with our division champs. In the Atlantic, I'm going Clemson. Until somebody can unseat them, that's what it's going to have to be. It's Clemson all the way. They're the clear favorite in the Coastal – or in the Atlantic, sorry. In the Coastal, I'm going with UNC. And the major reason is that they host Virginia Tech. You know, that's a game on October 10th that – is going to set up who's going to go to the ACC title game. TJ, what are your picks?
Yeah, I'm no reason to belabor the point. I'm with you. Clemson's probably the heaviest favorite for any division in Power 5 football. I don't really see a challenger. I don't think anyone is remotely close to them. North Carolina does have, you know, more challengers, certainly not near as big of a favorite, but I will take them as well, largely because of I just think they have the difference maker at quarterback that others don't have. So I'll go with those two as well.
Yeah. And then games to watch, my non-conference game to watch is Clemson at Notre Dame, and I put non-con in quotes because we are including yeah. – Notre Dame in the ACC, although it doesn't count as a conference game. Notre Dame plays about six ACC teams, you know, every year. So Clemson at Notre Dame, November 7th. This is, you know, we'll talk about Notre Dame in a little bit, but this is the game. If Notre Dame was a conference foe, this is deciding who's coming out of the ACC and going to the playoff. It might be a playoff elimination game. For both teams, I don't think the ACC is that deep, is deep enough to where Clemson could survive one loss and make it into the playoff unless unless there are just no other options there as well. And then my conference game to watch is Virginia Tech at UNC on October 10th. It's a leg up in the Coastal Division, and it's early October, and it's going to set the tone for that race there. What are your games to watch?
Well, the only conference game that really jumps out at you is that the game you mentioned, Virginia Tech and North Carolina. I think that there is a couple of other interesting ones, but really that's the marquee one. And then non-conference, I think North Carolina has a pair of interesting ones at the start of their schedule at Central Florida, which I think is going to be a major measuring stick game for both of those teams, really, to see where they stand and whether or not the hype is real surrounding North Carolina. We'll find out very quickly as they take on Central Florida, followed by Auburn. I think that the other interesting one is Penn State at Virginia Tech. That would be a really cool atmosphere game at Lane Stadium. We'll see if there's any fans in attendance for that, and that will go a long way toward determining whether or not the Hokies have a real shot at that one. And then, yeah, Clemson-Notre Dame, obviously that one's a really cool game to be able to see, as kind of the two best teams that we're talking about probably on today's show face off against each other. Of course, not a traditional ACC game, if you will, but that is Clemson's biggest regular season test. And like you said, I mean, if they are to go to the playoff, it's hard to envision them getting in with a loss, given the just lack of strength on their schedule.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun non-conference matchups in there as well, and some matchups, you know, we don't usually get to see in, you know, UNC Auburn and Penn State, Virginia Tech, and hopefully those games get played. We're going to go on to the dark horse team. To me, I think it's Virginia Tech. You know, it's UNC has hype. Virginia Tech, it's if they could clear the hurdle of Penn State and clear the Middle Tennessee State the game after, where they have to go to Middle Tennessee, they're going to be in the running for that division title. And they have 10 starters returning on defense. Their offense, Hendon Hooker, is now full-time quarterback. So it's – they're my dark horse. I don't think they're going to knock off Clemson, but they're my dark horse ACC team to get to that title game.
Yeah, there's not, to be honest, there's not a lot of options. You know, I like Louisville, and I really like the work Brian Satterfield did there, but that, you know, that schedule is really tough. I don't see them being able to do enough to get there. Virginia Tech's really the only answer in terms of, you know, making a run that people don't necessarily expect to the conference title game. You know, I a little bit of a different angle at this would be, you know, a team to drastically overperform their expectations. And for me, that answer is Wake Forest. They are, if you catch their over-under, you're looking at anywhere from 4 to 5. You could get 4.5. You could get 5. If you can find them at a 4 or 4.5, I would absolutely lock in the over. And the primary reason for that is Dave Clawson. He's just a really good coach that finds a way to get 6 or 7 wins out of a team that you wouldn't think about them doing. And they've got some pretty good pieces. Sage Surratt at wide receiver is a really good receiver. Sam Hartman. Now Jamie Newman's gone, and Sam Hartman's not quite Jamie Newman, but he's a good quarterback. He has some experience, and they return enough that I think Dave Clawson gets them to a bowl game. So if I'm just looking for a team that is going to overachieve, I would take Wake Forest for that. But in terms of the overall dark horse to make a conference title run, I think Virginia Tech's the only answer, really.
Yeah, I agree with that So let's get into our team previews. I'll start off, and we'll alternate. I'll start off with Clemson. As I said, they're the clear favorite in the entire conference. You get Trevor Lawrence is back. Travis Etienne is back. You do have to replace your top two receivers in T. Higgins. Justin Ross had neck surgery a week or so ago. They're going to have to replace his production. It's unsure of when he'll be back, but you know, I'd probably say he's going to miss the season. You have to replace Isaiah Simmons at linebacker, and their only test in the regular season is going to be at Notre Dame. They're probably going to go undefeated, and they're probably going to make the college football playoff. It's never easy to go undefeated, but it's easier to predict them going undefeated than predicting who they're going to lose to in the regular season. And that's just how the ACC is right now, and it's going to be held against Clemson all season, and it's going to affect their playoff standings and things like that. But you know, teams are down. It's cyclical. It goes like this. So you know, Clemson, I think maybe some of the stuff with Dabo off the field could be a distraction if you're looking for some chinks in that armor. They do lose a couple offensive linemen. Four out of the five offensive linemen graduated or moved on. So they do have a lot of production to replace, but I think Clemson's earned the benefit of the doubt that they're pretty darn good at returning that production. So what's your first team off, TJ?
That'd be North Carolina. It's an interesting one. You know, Mack Brown was hired. That was mostly, I'd say, panned. And I was skeptical, and I still am somewhat skeptical. However, you can't doubt that he made some really good hires and really just set out about being a CEO and kind of motivating guys and just using his name to get people fired up about North Carolina football. It worked pretty well in year one. And the primary reason for that and most of the excitement for this year is Sam Howell. Really good freshman campaign, particularly late in games. He just needs to be a bit more consistent, which you expect, but he flashed the ability to be a star, hoping he can take a step. He's not the only reason for excitement, though. They return a lot of production, good group of skill players. The staff are recruiting at a really high level, and the schedule's favorable. I mean, really favorable. They don't play Clemson, Louisville, or Wake Forest in the regular season. They play at Central Florida and Auburn, so the ACC schedule itself is very easy. The non-conference schedule is difficult. Can first two Auburn could very and you know, lose it one ACC game, winning the rest of their non-conference games, and getting to that conference title game, then that would have to be considered a great success for Mack Brown in just his second year. The question is going to be whether or not the defense can be strong enough for what should be a really explosive offense to keep winning games. Mine is in line for a really good year.
Yeah, it's UNC's year. Sam Howell's very, very impressive. He's probably the second best quarterback in the ACC. Next, we're going south to Florida State. They're coming in at S&P Plus at 26, which I think is a little high. But, you know, there's been so much drama involving Florida State the last couple of years. Willie Taggart's out. You got Mike Norvell coming in. You had some players call him out on Twitter before the season. The winner, I think, of the Florida State-Clemson game for however many years has always won that division. I don't think that's changing. They're still at least a few years away from pushing Clemson. You got questions at running back with James Blackman. Can he stay healthy? At running back, you have to replace Cam Akers. All right, we're back. Can you hear me, TJ?
Yeah, I got you.
All right, I'm having internet issues. I bought a booster and all that stuff, but I think since quarantine started or whatever, my internet has been going in and out, and I've been trying to fix it. But anyway, we're talking about Florida State. I still think they're a few years away from pushing Clemson. You got all these questions, quarterback, running back, offensive line was dreadful last year. They need to improve. They have a brutal schedule too. They host Clemson. You get Florida coming in. And then you have to go for a trip to Boise State. If they don't beat Boise State, that thing could go downhill real quickly. I think they're going to struggle to get to a bowl game. And it's just one of these things where they made a change. Jimbo Fisher left, and they've been scrambling to find a replacement. And clearly, Willie Taggart wasn't it. And now you're hoping Mike Norvell is the guy to get you back up into prominence. But it's following a lot of the patterns we've seen at other former blue blood football programs, like, you know, Michigan, who went with Brady Hoke and Rich Rodriguez. You know, USC took forever. Tennessee took forever. It's taking forever. Texas is changing guys all the time, and things like that. So, you know, Florida State's stuck in that cycle of, hey, maybe we need to lower our expectations of being a national title contender every year and give somebody three or four years to build instead of just, you know, 2 years, hey, you're not winning and you're out. So that's my take on Florida State. What's the next team up for you?
That is the Louisville Cardinals. Again, this is a program that, you know, went through a coaching change last year. Was Brian Saddlefield's first year. After replacing Bobby Petrino, by all accounts, the atmosphere around that program was toxic by the time that they were done. So that they had to make a change. Satterfield comes in. I really liked the hire when they made it. I know that they swung for the fences with Jeff Brohm. I think Satterfield was a really good consolation prize, if you will. They went 8-5, won a bowl game. Mikhail Cunningham, you know, pretty good find at quarterback for them. They've got a pretty good skill group. I like their running backs quite a bit. The offensive line, they have to replace Mekhi Becton, so there's going to be a little bit of a restructuring there as they try to find some answers on the offensive line. I think the defense should be pretty good. The one concern that you have is that they play Notre Dame, Kentucky, Virginia Tech, and Clemson, so the schedule's tough. But I think a repeat of that 8-5 is possible. You know, that's within the realm of possibility for them. Exceeding that will be tough to do. It'll take an upset plus no slip ups. But I think they could repeat that and really begin to build a nice program under Satterfield.
Louisville was a big surprise last year. Yeah. But I don't think they were untalented in Bobby Petrino's last year. I just think they just quit on him.
Yeah, unmotivated.
And so you saw the talent shine through last year. All right, let's move on to NC State. S&P 62, Dave Doran desperately needs a bounce back year. They went 4-8 last year after a run of, you know, a couple of years of 9 wins. They never really got over that hump and cashed in with a conference title game appearance. But if this was a normal situation and teams weren't playing without fans or 25% or 50% capacity, Dave Doran's on the hot seat, and he might be out the door if they don't go to a bowl game or better. So that's something to watch. I think he's one of the few coaches that is on the hot seat for performance. There might be some other coaches for some other reasons on hot seats, but performance-wise, this is I think one or two of the guys that are on the hot seat. Running back Bam Knight has been awesome. He's going to be the focus of the offense. You need to develop Devin Leary, a quarterback, and find ways to get Thayer Thomas the ball. He was on fire at kick returns and in the passing game last year, but he got injured. I think he played in 5 games. And then across the board, the defense has to be better. They could start 0-3 as well. If all goes south, they could start 0-3. You got a tricky trip to Troy. You can say that 10 times fast. A tricky trip to Troy. So, it could all go downhill. If they go 0-3, you start, you open up at Louisville. You get Mike Leach and at Mississippi State coming in the next week, and then you go to Troy. And so you hopefully, best case scenario is you go 3-0. Realistically, you're looking at 2-1. But if you go 0-3 heading into that Delaware game on September 26th, it's over for Dave Dorn at NC State. Next up for you, TJ.
The Miami Hurricanes, again, another, recent coaching change as they look for answers there. Manny Diaz, kind of next man up, if you will. Big questions for them. What's the future of the program? Can they regain that elite status? Is Manny Diaz the answer? We know he loves Miami. We know that. We know he's a Miami guy, but that doesn't win games for you, ultimately. You've got to get athletes in there. You've got to develop them, and you've got to absolutely kill it locally recruiting to be successful at that program. The biggest storyline for this team is going to be the addition of Derek King, transfer from Houston. Is a big get for them. He's a dynamic playmaker that can really make a difference for that offense. I don't think the group surrounding him, unfortunately for them, is all that special, which should never be the case in Miami. It seems like they should always have some good wideouts and good running backs due to the athletes in that area. But I don't see them on this current roster. Offensive line is, again, just okay. I don't think that Derek King can do it all by himself. So they're going to need other players to step up. On defense, Gregory Rousseau and Jalen Phillips, really good pass rush duo on paper. They've got everything you'd look for in a pass rushing duo, but they just weren't very good last year. Did not get it done to the level that you would expect players that have performed like they have in the past to get it done at. I just think the roster's not that great. It's not what you would expect Miami to have. And if they had, a normal Miami athlete level roster surrounding Derek King, I'd be pretty excited, but I just don't see it. Schedule, not bad. They don't play Clemson. Plus they get Michigan State, which is an interesting series that they've started with them in Michigan State. It's a good time to get them. They're rebuilding under Mel Tucker. So I could see Miami getting to an 8, maybe 9 wins. But I don't think that it's going to be a good team that gets there. I think it'll be more Derek King making plays plus the schedule really benefiting them that gets them to that if they do. So I think it's another year of wait and see on Manny Diaz.
Yeah, definitely on Miami. But before we move on, TJ, we have a word from our sponsors over at Bet Online. So there is no shortage of action going on with our partners over at betonline.ag. The sports world is slowly making its way back with the NBA announcing its return in late July. But right now, UFC, boxing, NASCAR, and international soccer have all resumed play, and BetOnline has the best odds lines for their upcoming games and matches. Need more? BetOnline has simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC happening live every day for our devout gamblers to check out. BetOnline also offers hundreds of live casino games, poker tournaments, and the best prop bets in the business. Visit betonline.ag on your computer or mobile device and join now to receive your welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online wagering experts. Now, hopefully sports start coming back slowly. Hopefully the NBA is back and Major League Baseball's got to get their act together. And hopefully we get football in the fall as well. People have to follow, you know, directions and safety procedures and all that stuff. But now we travel up to the Northeast. We are heading to Boston College and Chestnut Hill. One of the teams with the new coach, Jeff Hafley, is coming in from Ohio State. As a defensive coordinator over there, we'll see what happens with BC. They're a proud program. They're used to making bowls and winning games and stuff like that. But they had a lot of basically mediocre 500 seasons in a row and just never took that next step and replaced Steve Addazio with Jeff Hafley. They lose A.J. Dillon, who is awesome, to the NFL, but they have David Bailey back, who was the second part of that Buffalo Bros guy, or Buffalo Bros group. And he's going to take over full time. Quarterback Dennis Grossel is full time. A bowl here would be a surprise. I think it's just you're rebuilding in a tough program in the Northeast, and they're going to rely on a veteran defense to do so. So let's, TJ, where are you taking us next?
That'd be Wake Forest. I touched on the Demon Deacons earlier, so I won't elaborate too much. But you know, I just think that expectations are too low for a program that has found really solid, stable footing under Dave Clawson. Now at Georgia, that hurts. Certainly losing him hurts. But Sam Hartman has done it when Jamie Newman was injured. I thought he was pretty good at starting. Sage Surratt's one of the better receivers in the ACC. And Dave Clawson's, you know, a really good head coach. They do have to play Notre Dame at Florida State, at Louisville, and Clemson, plus a non-conference game with Appalachian State, which is perhaps not the wisest move to make that part of your schedule. But again, if the expectation is 4 or 5 wins, I would certainly expect him to exceed that.
Yeah, it's definitely, Wake Forest has definitely come up from the bottom and things like that. So, next, I'm heading over to the Coastal and heading into Virginia Tech. We talked about them earlier being the dark horse team. They're at S&P plus 32. I think that that game against Penn State, if they could beat Penn State, you could use that momentum to make a run to a division title. The trick here, there's a trap game. The week after, you go to Middle Tennessee State after Penn State. That's a tough trip, even though Middle Tennessee State was kind of middle of the pack, group of five team there. You got Hendon Hooker is now full-time at quarterback. You have a veteran defense, although Bud Foster is no longer the defensive coordinator there. He retired after the season. It's going to be a little bit of an adjustment. There as well. So we'll see. It should be a big improvement on offense. you could contend for that Coastal title, and it's going to come down to that game against UNC on October 10th on who's going to win that Coastal division. Where do we go next, DJ?
That would be their rivals, Virginia. The Cavaliers, another, you know, very well-regarded coach in Bronco Mendenhall, coming off of an Orange Bowl season. Major surprise for them to be able to get there. And, yeah, they got shellacked in the ACC title game, but they were competitive in the Orange Bowl. Never felt like they were going to beat Florida, but, you know, it made it interesting nonetheless. However, they have to replace Bryce Perkins, who did so much for that offense. Nearly 80% of their offensive production was Bryce Perkins. And you know, Bronco Mendenhall said it himself, you don't replace that. That's not somebody that you replace. It's not possible for pretty much any program, especially Virginia. So it's going to be incredibly difficult for them to make up for that. Transferring in from Mississippi State, I don't know. I mean, he kind of fits Bryce Perkins' playing style, but just not nearly as good. So it's either going to be him or it's going to be Brennan Armstrong, who's left over there. He played spot duty and, you know, can't really take anything out of that one way or the other. But quarterback is going to be a downgrade. So with that information, you've got to look elsewhere. The defense had a lot of youths that played last year because of injuries, and that's what made their Orange Bowl run all the more impressive. They were without multiple secondary players and multiple defensive linemen because of injuries. So all that youth got a lot of playing time. They're back. The injured guys are back. It's going to be a very deep and what should be a very good defense for Virginia. The question is, can the offense score at all to help keep them competitive? I don't know. I mean, they play Clemson, North Carolina, Louisville, Virginia Tech, and Miami in conference, and they play Georgia non-conference. So good luck with that schedule. I think getting back to a bowl game and just avoiding a major step back would be an accomplishment if they can get to 6 or 7 wins and just kind of keep their footing and then rebuild the offense from there. I think it'll be considered an accomplishment.
Yeah, Virginia is a team we're very familiar with after how you played them in both 2017 and 2018.
Yeah.
Now we're heading to Western Pennsylvania in Pittsburgh. It's going to be your typical Pitt team. They're going to be a tough team to play, you know, a solid bowl team and things like that. So they come in ranked 42nd in S&P Plus. Taysier Mack, former IU wide receiver, he should have a huge year this year. You know, Trent Pickett is very, very solid. Could turn into a great quarterback. Their run game needs to improve. Their pass game is very, very good. Their run game needs to improve, especially when you talk late in the season in Pittsburgh. You don't have that many trips south. You do go to North Carolina and Virginia towards the end of the season. You play indoors at Syracuse. But the schedule kind of works in their favor. You have Miami of Ohio at Marshall and Richmond, and then Notre Dame coming in the non-conference. Mm-hmm. You miss Clemson, and you miss some of those big boys on the other side. But it's just screams another 6-8 win Pittsburgh team. So where are we going next?
Yeah, question real quick. Do you think Pat Narduzzi is good?
Define good.
Well, let's take, for instance, you know, if we turn this to the Big Ten, because, you know, he had a lot of ties to Michigan State. Let's say if Michigan State makes the hire of Pat Narduzzi, would that have sparked any fear in you whatsoever as an IU fan?
Not really. I don't. Maybe just because of his ties there, but I think Luke Fickell would be the better one.
Yeah, and I asked that because I'm kind of along those lines too, where And you kind of mentioned in your preview, it's just kind of, he's fine. He's just fine. You know, he can keep things going at a respectable pace. Not going to really take you up a notch. Probably not going to collapse on you. Just fine. And I wonder if Pitt fans, you know, there's only so long that fans are okay with just fine. Before, you know, that's tough to fire. It's tough to fire when you're winning 7 or 8 games, but it's also, you know, a little tough to get all that excited about. So that's, I think it's an interesting one. But next up, Syracuse. Very interesting. Dino Babers kind of rebuilt that program quickly, got them to 10 wins, a lot of excitement. And he has said before, it's a lot harder to, in his opinion, to maintain consistency than it is to just, you know, turn something around. And maintaining consistency is what he has had a hard time finding at Syracuse. And I don't think things are going to go well this year either. New offensive coordinator Sterling Gilbert fits in line with what Babers likes to do. And it makes sense in the Carrier Dome on the turf. Tommy DeVito returns at quarterback. It's hard telling how much of a plus that is. He just wasn't good last year. Large part of that's because the offensive line was just awful. Didn't have any time to do anything. They get 4 starters back. Again, how good is that? I mean, if you're just bringing back bad players and they start again, then they're probably going to be bad again. If he does not get more time, I don't see how things improve. 3 of the top 4 receivers are gone. Taj Harris is back. He's good. The best running back that they had is gone. The defense is not going to be a strength either. As they're installing a new defense with another new coordinator. And again, that's kind of a bad time to be doing that. With COVID going on, you could not have spring ball. So that'll hurt new installations a little bit. They lose their top 2 pass rushers. Lose 2 starters in the secondary. They've got some good pieces, like an Andre Sisko at DB, like a Taj Harris at receiver. So they've got some good pieces, but, I mean, not really anything beyond that that gets you excited. They do get Colgate, Rutgers, Western Michigan, and Liberty in their non-conference. That's good. That's the type of non-conference they should have. They get Georgia Tech, they get NC State at home. So they've got a chance to get to a bowl game based on that schedule. But I don't think things are going to be any good for the Orange. And I think that there are some questions about whether or not Babers is there much longer.
Yeah, it's one of those, you know, you kind of flash in the pans. You know, he had that team at 10 wins. They came into last year ranked as well. They got smoked by Maryland. Maryland ended up being ranked 2. And then they both fizzled. So it's kind of, you're a victim of your own success there. And it's a very, very tough place to replace talent. It's, you know, Western New York doesn't really have all that many players. And then you just have to, you deal with the climate. It is so cold up there. In the winter and things like that. And then people, you know, if you have an offer from somebody down south, it's very, very tempting just to say, I don't want to be up here. It is too cold. Let me go play in, you know, Carolina, in the Carolinas or Florida or, you know, someplace where it isn't negative 40 degrees. So, you know, we'll see. Syracuse is, they have a rich history, but it's a place that's very, very tough unless you're recruiting nationally, and it's very, very tough to get those guys to come to Syracuse because of the weather and facilities and all of that stuff. So let's move on to Duke. They're coming in at S&P Plus at 69. It's going to be an interesting year for Duke as well. They're coming off a 5-7 season. It seems like they're at the end of their line on the Cutcliffe, on Cutcliffe's career. He's getting up there in age. He's taking over play calling duties. They brought in Chase Bryce from Clemson, which is usually not the MO for David Cutcliffe program. And if they miss a ball, you can just see him retiring and walking away and things like that. They do have a veteran D. They're going to have to rely on their defense to win some games and things like that. Their schedule is not awful. You get Middle Tennessee State at home, Elon, Charlotte. But you do have to make that trip up to Notre Dame and things like that. You get Miami to end the season. Are 6 wins there? Yeah, they could get 6 wins. It's a pretty manageable schedule outside of the trip to Notre Dame. But you get an open week before that. But if they get 6 wins, it'll be a nice season for Duke. All right, where are we going?
The last team I've got is Georgia Tech. Again, another second-year coach, Jeff Collins. Difficult job to rebuild a program after you get rid of the triple option. It's Georgia Tech felt like it was time to do that. And when you do make that move away from the triple option, it's a total roster turnover is what you have to do. Either you're having to recruit over guys that are not triple option players, or you're totally developing and changing guys that were triple option players. So it's a lot. And, you know, the first year didn't go well, but it could have been worse. They were more competitive than I thought they'd be. The schedule this year is really hard. They play Clemson, Central Florida, North Carolina, Notre Dame, Georgia, which they always will play non-conference, which, again, makes it that much tougher of a job. At Virginia Tech, at Pittsburgh. They're probably going to be starting a true freshman quarterback in Jeff Sims, who's a really good athlete that they swiped from Florida State. They're not ready to be competitive against that schedule, but they do have a trio of running backs, Mason, Jameis Griffin, and Jamar Gibbs. Good trio. The top producers on defense are back. Jeff Collins, you know, made a point to mention that they were outmatched physically, oversized or undersized physically at pretty much every position on the field. And their goal for all of their players was to gain at least 10 pounds before the 2020 campaign started so that they could at least make it more of a fair fight size-wise. I think that Georgia Tech's going to be a better team than they were a year ago, but that schedule is really, really hard to be able to make tangible on-field progress.
Yeah, Georgia Tech, you know, it's a bear of an ass to totally re-image your program on offense. But, you know, in that Atlanta area, you have some great, great high school football. And in time, that program should be, you know, one of those forces in the ACC that when they're good, they could contend for conference titles and reload and things like that. They might not, you know, they might have, you know, that 4-8 year, 5-7 year every so often down the road like they have. But it's a program that has shown they could get to New Year's Six Bowls and knock off some of that. And it really hurts the ACC that they had to break that whole program down and rebuild. Finally, we're going to Notre Dame. So all you basketball fans who root for Notre Dame, you can enjoy the rest of the podcast as well. Notre Dame's coming in at S&P plus 12. They have sky high expectations. I think it's almost playoff or bust for Notre Dame in their fans' eyes. It's going to come down to that Clemson game in terms of, you know, can they get that playoff berth? they play the Navy game got rescheduled. It's now in Saturday, September 1st, and it's not in Ireland. It's in Maryland. You play a bad Arkansas team, Western Michigan. You know, you have a few spots where they can make a statement in Wisconsin over at Lambeau. That'll be a statement game. You've got to go out. You get Stanford coming in. Clemson is another statement game. But other than those two and USC out west, other than those three games, there's not a game, like, and you don't have a conference title game. So it's very difficult for Notre Dame to suffer a loss and make it to the college football playoff. So they kind of have to go 12-0 because they don't have that conference title game to get a rematch with somebody or beat another division winner and replace that loss and make up for that loss. So we'll see what Notre Dame does. They do get Ian Book back, the returning 11 starters. You do have to replace Tony Jones at running back and their top three receiving threats. So you get Ian Book back, but you lose three receivers, three really good receivers as well. So it could be, you know, maybe the expectations of going to a college football playoff berth again are a little too high for Notre Dame, but it should be another, you know, at least another 8-9 win year and a trip to a good warm weather bowl game and things like that. So that wraps up our ACC preview. I want to thank TJ for joining us today. Sorry for the technical difficulties. I'll try and get those figured out again next week. We'll go over the Big Ten. So thanks again for TJ for joining us. I'm Sammy Jacobs. For TJ Inman, thank you for joining us on the Hoosier Huddle podcast. We'll be breaking down all the conference, Power Five conferences, and then the Group of Five conferences as well on our podcast. We have our previews for the first two games up, Ball State preview, game previews coming out this week as well. We're continuing our countdown to kickoff as scheduled until we hear something else. IU players are back on campus, going through volunteer workouts. Today, players were tweeting as Stevie Scott, Matthew Bedford, and Javon Swan tweeted that they were in working out with the guys, things like that. So things are moving in the right direction, and we will have you updated every step of the way. So thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week to talk Big 12 and some other college football news. Come back to HoosierHuddle.com. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Enjoy the summer. Before you know it, college football will hopefully be back.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Searching for NBA playoff coverage? We've got you. The Old Man and the Three, presented by BMW, gives you an inside look into the world of sports. Hosted by former NBA sharpshooter and Duke legend J.J. Redick and sports writer Tommy Alter, The Old Man and the Three offers unprecedented access to the league. Tommy and J.J. discuss the NBA and interview some of the biggest names in the league, like Devin Booker and Luka Doncic. NBA final season is the perfect time to dive in, and you can listen to The Old Man and the Three wherever you get your podcasts. To hear episodes brought to you by BMW. Push the limits this NBA season with the brand that set the ultimate standard. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.